This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnon. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Four lines wide open on this beautiful Saturday morning. So feel free to get online and we'll do our best to help you out. No matter where you're calling from, anywhere in the country, 860-522-9842 is the number. We get rid of the old 800 number. Who needs those numbers? You can call on the cell phone anywhere you want these days and not really pay long distance. So get online. We're going to be happy to chat with you about your technology needs and issues. As we wait, though, we will talk about some technology news. I got one for you there, Dennis.
Okay, what have you got?
This is from my favorite blog over there in the
Register.
The UK.
Yeah. Oh, they're great.
The headline, Green Alert, SaaS, which is software as a service, which is cloud.
Right.
Those giants may use sustainability to justify price hikes. So So which you should make you see red because using renewable energy is supposed to cut their costs.
Right.
But of course, that's not what happens. So software as a service vendors, basically we're finding that, I think it was I read a story about in England, they had to shut down data centers because they were overheating. Right. They had to shut down services. They couldn't get the AC in there. They're going to start cranking their prices by 15 to 20% in the next 3 years. Now, we've already heard about this with the boys at Microsoft.
Oh, they've already gone to town against their own customers.
Up to 40% increases. Now, they're going to now say they're going to justify this by using sustainability as the reason they're going to increase it even further by 15 to 20%. So you got to ask yourself, I thought going to software as a service is supposed to save you money. By the way, it doesn't.
No.
It's much more expensive than... having your own servers in-house. Simple as that, right? Is it more expensive to rent the car or to own the car? Is it more expensive to rent the house or to own the house? Renting is always more expensive. Simple as that. And now they're going to increase the costs in the name of sustainability. So I'll put a link up here for you, and we'll see if folks understand that. But as they keep cranking up your costs here, are you going to find yourself having to go back to bring it back on-prem? And we do find clients that have to bring their server stuff back on-prem for all sorts of NIST and security reasons because you can't just have your data strewn about the world.
Right.
Governments want to know where your data is.
They want it contained inside of a network, right?
And generally, the cost of heating and cooling your company doesn't change with a computer server sitting in a room. It doesn't impact it.
Yeah.
We'll see what's going on here, and we'll see if they can get these costs over to you in the name of sustainability, green energy. But again, green energy is much more expensive than the base energy we normally use. So we'll put it there for you to see. And as you watch your cloud prices continue to crank, sorry.
Yeah, and sometimes we're the people that have to bear the bad news about the price hikes.
Right.
And there's nothing we can do about it.
Nope.
Absolutely nothing.
And as we wait for your calls, another quick story I want to bring up because it just cracked me up. Do you remember Matt Damon doing those crypto commercials when he was talking to everybody being bold? Go out there and get involved in crypto during the Super Bowl, right? You know, go ahead and check out this, you know, get involved there, you know, as you're drinking your beer and enjoying your nachos for the game. Go and put your life savings in crypto. Thank you, Matt. We'll do that. Well, the same firm that Matt was talking about you joining and being part of the bold crypto environment transferred $10.5 million of fake money to a woman instead of a $100 refund that she was asking for. They gave her $10.5 million
in
crypto.
Wait. She was looking for $100 and they gave her $10.5 million.
Yep. And you want to know how they did it or why, how it happened? The funniest part is how it happened.
Please. I got to know.
So when they designed the field to move money around in the software, the dingling who was posting the information in the software, instead of putting $100 in the field, he put her account number in there. And the account number was quite long. It was a huge string. It got to $10 million.
Oh, no.
So he simply, or she, whoever did it, simply put the wrong information in the account, hit enter, boom, gone.
And let me guess, the developers never put any data validation into that field either, so that they didn't detect that it was a bad input.
Right.
Oh.
Obviously. So now, and of course, the woman's spending all sorts of fake money, buying all sorts of things. She's already spent $1.35 million of the money. It had gone to a four-bedroom property in Melbourne. So she's been back and making all sorts of purchases because, you know what, it's the blockchain. You know what? And there's no governing entity that can do anything about it. So good luck getting the money back. Nice of you to be bold there, Maddie. you're telling us to get involved in this type of prospect here, and you don't even know how to move the money around within your fake money system.
They don't even have any data validation in their software forms.
Right. So we'll put a link up there for you. You can read this story and laugh as hard as we have. It was funny. I was talking to a customer about software as a service, right? She's like, Microsoft 365. Eric, why is everyone going to Microsoft 365? And I asked her, why is everyone going to crypto? I said, are you going to crypto? She goes, no. Well, a lot of people are. It's all a matter of who's selling it, man. It's who's selling it. Yeah. If Matt Damon, if what's his name, Jason Bourne, is selling crypto to you, and you're a fan of Matt Damon, you're going to go take your hard-earned money and chuck it into a system that can't even do a transfer correct. $10 million mistake.
That's just another example of Greenberg's theorem.
Mm. What is Greenberg's theorem?
If builders built buildings the way programmers wrote programs, the first woodpecker that came along would destroy civilization.
There it is. That's a good line. We should use that more often.
Oh, it's like 50 years old.
Is it really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I haven't heard that one. I'm glad you're here to tell me there, Dennis. We're going to put a link up here for you guys to read this story. And you can then think back to Matt Damon telling you how bold you needed to be. Let's go to bold. Again, if I'm wrong, and I'm wrong, and this is the one thing that is an actual thing, considering SNL scandal, 2007 crash, Enron, those are all things that burned everybody. But no. Crypto, Eric. Crypto is the thing.
Oh.
That's the thing. You're crazy if you're missing that thing. I wasn't born yesterday, clearly. It's not a thing. All right? I'll sell you a nice picture of an NFT of a bridge. Because now you can do that. Let's go to Len in Manchester. What's going on, Len?
Hi. Just wondering, services, privacy services like DuckDuckGo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these things are supposed to be free.
Yeah.
Where are they making their money?
I'm glad you're thinking that way.
Very good question.
So we've done some research on this, too, and maybe Dennis has some insights, too. But we've asked that question as well. And you can actually look it up. They actually tell you, how are we making our money? Because that question is an obvious smart one, right? They do data aggregation as well. They say they anonymize whatever data they do collect. And that they're saying is that a limited amount of data that they do collect. So they have to make money somehow. Sure. They're not doing anything out of the kindness of their heart.
Radio ads aren't cheap.
No, they're really not. No, they're not. Ask me. but it's worth it. We won't go. It's definitely worth it. Radio works, but it is not cheap. And the thing is with DuckDuckGo, you know, we applaud what they've tried to do. We did kind of admonish them for the fact that they were, you know, allowing Microsoft to scrape data.
Right. They were passing through some of Microsoft's beacons.
Requests through Mike, and Microsoft was asking them to do it, and they were. And then they got a backbone once everybody kind of said, what's this? So always take it with a grain of salt, right? How anonymous are you going to be? If you really want to be more anonymous on the internet, number one, you're not going to be, right? Because I can just tell you, you're digitally connected. But you would consider what's called a VPN. And the issue, though, is the VPN has to be smart enough not to use your local DNS when it does its searches. We found issues like that where people's local DNS was still being accessed. So if people wanted to figure out what you were looking up, they could do it based on your DNS history locally. And those DNS, those VPN services, you're popping out somewhere on somebody else's server. They'll tell you they've got 6,000 servers somewhere, right? Well, when you pop out on that 6,000th server in Arizona, where you're surfing is now there on that server, right?
Right.
And they pinky swear not to keep the data. Are they keeping the data? I don't know. If you pay for the service, they shouldn't be keeping the data. But the free ones, who knows what they're doing with that?
And the other source of income for DuckDuckGo is ads that they inject into your search results when you use their site as a search engine. I mean, and that's pretty direct, you know.
So it's a good service. I mean, it's better than, you know, Google is just, you know, they know everything about you. So I'm trying to get around, even with DuckDuckGo. So you've searched where you've searched, then you end up at a website. So now the website's going to ask you, can I have cookies? Can I use some cookie? Here's my cookie policy, Len. Is it okay if I use this cookie policy? And you say, okay, because you don't even know what you should say yes to or not. And now they know you, Len, are on that site.
Yes.
So you're never going to get away from any kind of anonymization when it comes to the internet.
I didn't think so. I just wanted to confirm it.
It is more private. I guess we'll tell you that. It's more private. How much more? I don't know. I'm skeptical. All right?
There is no free lunch.
No. Well, depends. Well, that's a different show probably to talk about who's getting the free lunches.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, Len. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. We've talked about it before. And at some point, we're going to find that there will be some sort of truly anonymized service. Maybe it'll be an open source.
Well, there already is one.
Which one would you consider?
Tor.
Oh, the Tor networks, yeah. But that's even scarier. Now you're playing in the dark web.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's the problem with Tor.
Mm-hmm.
And once you open that door, oh, I mean, you don't even know where you're going to land sometimes.
And I would contend that if you've connected to the Tor network, the folks who would be interested in why you're going to the Tor network would be interested in that happening.
Well, the problem with somebody inside of Tor trying to track a client elsewhere on Tor is that they would have to get through all of those onion layers themselves. And while it's technically possible to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard of NSA having connections into Tor and then using that to track people that they're interested in.
Right.
But it takes a lot of computational power to figure that out.
Right. And it gets back
a lot.
And it gets back to you're not thinking about your phone. You know, we're always trying to figure out, you know, how to be more private, right? Because we as Americans, privacy is something we, you know, it's just part of our core being. But when you walk outside these days, there's like 16 cameras that have tracked your existence outside on the cameras. Your phone is tracking where you're going. The apps on your phone are tracking where you're going. You make the phone calls, it's tracking where you've been. Being anonymous these days, I was talking to I think it was my father-in-law would talk about, I don't want to have that easy pass on my car because they know where I am. I'm like, they already know where you are. Every camera on the highway knows where you are. So I don't know. We're not, the days of privacy are gone. I don't know how we're going to be able to put that genie back in the bottle. And again, if you're surfing on the internet, if you're not doing anything wrong, what are you worried about? It's only a matter of when somebody decides what you're searching for is wrong. Right. I mean, that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
As long as you're not doing anything wrong. Actually, I think technically, based on the number of laws in the books, we're all guilty of something anyways. I think there's still a law in the book in Hartford, like you can't chew gum and cross the street in Hartford or something like that.
Really?
Something like that, yeah. As long as, I don't know, as long as there's not a horse and buggy present. I don't know, something crazy like that. Let's go to Gary in Glastonbury. What's happening, Gary?
Hello.
What's up?
I got a USB.
Okay.
And I put, I go to put a file.
Uh-huh.
Open a file.
Yep.
And in the file list, it's got a symbol, whatever it is, PDF, Excel, or Word.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is it has a dot or a period, then an underline,
mm-hmm.
then the name of the file, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
and then after the name of the file, a dot, and then what it is, Excel or Word or JPG or
okay.
whatever.
Yep.
And I can't, I got a whole bunch of them, and then I got the, I don't know, I don't remember whether it's got the date
yep.
with it,
okay.
But I don't know, and I can't open those.
Okay.
Further down.
Oh, go ahead.
Further down, I have all the files, and I go down there, and I can open them.
Okay, what happened is that this USB stick has been in a Macintosh.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Wait a minute. You know where it's been?
I know where it's been.
Wow, that is new on me. He knows where it's been.
All right. Those are hidden files that the Mac OS introduces to the ones that begin with the dot and the underscore. Okay.
Yep.
Those are the ones that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Those are hidden files that are part of the file system on a Mac computer, and they're created every time the Mac reads a USB stick for the first time.
Hmm.
It's going to create those files. Those are desktop location files, and they contain other metadata that the operating system is looking for about them.
Interesting.
You can ignore those. Okay. As a matter of fact, if you're on a Windows computer, you can just go ahead and delete them because it's not destructive. It won't hurt. It won't hurt the files themselves.
Yeah.
And it probably won't really have any impact if you were to plug it back into the Mac that it had been in.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you can get rid of those.
I got a quick question though, Dennis. If I take that USB stick and put it back in the Mac, would I see that those
It'll
files?
It'll put them back, but you don't see them.
That's
because
the
they're
key.
Hidden within the In the Mac universe, they are hidden.
Right, and that's why you see them in the Windows universe.
That's why you see them in the Windows computer only if Explorer is set to show hidden files.
Yeah, it only shows them on some of the... See, I go to the town libraries, and one of the libraries, Manchester, has the Macs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the others don't have the Macs.
If it were me, I would just ignore those files and leave them alone.
Now that you know what they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're completely not harmful. But then again, you can also delete them, and that also wouldn't be harmful, I don't think.
Okay.
But they'll come right back when you stick that USB stick in the Mac.
They will return once they get on a Mac.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Gary, that's a good question.
Do I have to use that file, the one with the dot underlined, to open it in Mac?
You would go down the list to the actual file that doesn't have the dot and the underscore in front of it.
Okay.
Yep. That is the actual file.
Right.
Dot underscore thing is just an extra file that's created to describe the original.
To help the
but
Mac.
The original file is the real thing, and that's all you should worry about.
I like listening to your program, and thank you very much for your help.
Our pleasure, Gary. Thank you for listening.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. I learned something today. I didn't know that. That's how that worked. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No, I don't play with Macs at all.
Well, that's true. You don't.
I don't have that kind of money, Dennis. I don't have the Mac
money. I'm not made of money either, but I do have one.
Yes. You've got some experience. So lines wide open, 860-522-9842. Want to bring up some more news there as we wait for calls?
Yeah. It seems there's a little bit of a computing revolution going on over in Japan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Japan has a digital minister, and apparently he is going to war against floppy disks, of all things.
Really? He must have put an end to the floppy.
Right. Now, I've got a ZDNet article about this.
Yeah.
The problem in Japan is that there are a lot of laws and regulations that are specifically written that tell people that they need to submit data to government agencies and other entities.
Right.
And the law itself says that it has to be on a floppy disk or on a CD or on tape. In some cases, tape.
Yeah.
We're talking about tape.
Tape.
Does anybody remember moving data on a reel-to-reel tape? I do. I've been there.
I've never done that.
At any rate, what he wants to do is to have all those laws rewritten so that modern data transmission can be used.
Any media.
Well, any media.
Within reason.
Within reason, possibly even just submitted over the internet through some kind of a portal.
Makes sense.
But it's just kind of funny to me how these laws were written that actually specified you've got to mail it in as floppy disk or whatever the rule is that they have to follow. Mm-hmm. So now they've got to go through the books of all the regulations in Japan and look for all of these entries and then, you know, make changes to the laws to get rid of those.
Well, our standard system build, we got rid of CD-ROMs in our standard system build years ago for our business clients. And we had a law firm replace all their machines, which was great, happy to do it, brought our machines out without the CD-ROMs. And they're like, oh, we need CDs. And we're like, what? It turns out in their business, in their process, working with insurance companies, that they had to have access to CD-ROMs because that's how the data was moved. In almost the same comment you're making there. They were stuck in some 1990s regulation.
Oh, and we've had lawyers that have gotten CDs or DVDs as part of discovery.
Right. Well, that's true. And then they need a disc.
And they need something to read it. Yeah.
All right, very good. We're going to be here for another half an hour. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And we're over on Facebook. If you want to check us out there or Facebook Live, chime in if you'd like. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so we're in the home stretch before Dennis and I get to enjoy our Labor Day weekend like you guys are. 860-522-9842 is the number, and let's get right to your calls. And we're going to go first to Stan, who is on the line in Southington. What's happening, Stan?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. I've got a Dell Inspiron laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we've got a power manager warning saying the AC power adapter is not recognized. And
yep.
Nothing has changed. We haven't done anything with it.
Yeah, so an AC power adapter not being recognized probably means the power adapter is failing. Is it still charging the unit?
It's hit or miss.
Yeah.
Could be the battery is completely shot.
Okay.
Actually, the battery, it says the battery health is really good.
I wouldn't trust that. Because what you're getting is at some point within the power management of the computer, there is a problem. Okay. Either it's with the power supply, it's with the battery, or it might be with the hardware that's actually built onto the motherboard.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. I would say 60% chance it is the power supply. Okay.
Yeah.
But you also have a small chance that it's the battery and an even smaller chance that it's a part on the motherboard.
How old is the laptop?
A good 5 years.
Okay. If you can find a replacement adapter that powers the unit, I would tell you to start there first, like
okay.
Dennis said, and see if the error goes away. Updating drivers and all that wouldn't make a difference because it's
probably
sensing
not.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
And I would say it's coming from the device that's powering it first, like Dennis thought too. So try to find one. If you can get one, go online with the manufacturer, see if they have any spare parts. You may have to Amazon it where you'll find somebody's got some cheap spare parts for that particular model.
Yeah, we actually have like the sister model, so I'm sure we have the adapter somewhere.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, yeah.
That would test it out.
Oh, absolutely. It's the first thing.
Okay.
We can get an article out about, it's from Dell, about how to troubleshoot AC adapters.
Okay, great.
And we can get that out to you.
I appreciate that.
All right, Stan.
Thank you very much. You guys have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. It's always fun when your power adapter starts to get flaky.
Oh, I've actually had a case where the power adapter was reported failing,
yep.
And it did turn out to be the battery.
Yeah, I believe you. You wouldn't have said it if you didn't. So we have some questions you said on Facebook that came through you wanted to bring up.
Yes, we have somebody who is trying to upgrade a computer from Windows 10 1909
mm-hmm.
To something more current, and it's not allowing him to do it.
Right.
And he consulted Microsoft Tech Support.
Yes.
And it turns out that because 1909 is completely deprecated, mm-hmm. he can't upgrade it directly.
He waited too long.
What he's got to do is reinstall Windows.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And it's essentially a system reset, and he's going to have to reinstall programs and stuff.
To get the latest Windows 10.
To get the latest version of Windows 10.
Now, what about if he just says punt it and goes to 11?
I don't know about that. That might actually work. I don't know.
I would bet it would work. I don't know that I'd want. Oh my gosh. That's a thing, huh? If your Windows 10 is too old, the version's too old, it won't upgrade to the latest Windows 10. That's nutty. I've never heard of that, but here we are. We learn things every day. So I would tell you to go ahead and download Windows 11 and just bite the bullet and get that rather than wipe it and go back to where you were to do the upgrade.
Yeah, it's worth trying Windows 11.
It's the same thing. You're going to be forced there anyways.
Eventually.
So that's probably the direction to go. And you might even be able to get a free upgrade for that.
Oh, I would think so.
So check that out. There's also a call that came in that Carolyn told us about a Samsung data breach. This is 20 hours ago this happened. These stories are all, we missed them because we were doing our prep yesterday, I guess, and we missed it. But Samsung had a pretty major data breach that's out there, and people are worried. Of course, Samsung, there's articles all about it, names, birth dates, what have you, but no social security information has been lost.
But enough data to fuel phishing campaigns.
Well, that's the key.
So they're telling people to watch out for phishing emails.
Right. So here's the issue, right? So we're telling you about the Samsung data breach, and the bad guys are going to act as if they're from Samsung and they're here to help. Hey, we're from Samsung. We had a data breach. We want to let you know about it. Please re-enter. Please enter your this or that into this field, and then you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I did hear about that. Computer Talk talked about it. I heard it on the news. This must be legit. It's not legit.
No, it's not. Don't click on it.
Yeah. So the bad guys use this type of stuff to just get you to put your information in and collect it. So it's a double-edged sword when this information comes out. And be wary. No emails should be coming to you that are going to ever ask you for any information ever that you should ever input. You should always go yourself to the source without clicking on links. So always keep that in mind. And there's another data story here that's kind of even scarier. This is another from article from The Register. Here's how 5 mobile banking apps put 300,000 users' digital fingerprints at risk. And the spoiler, of course, is they used hard-coded AWS credentials. AWS is Amazon Web Services. It's all these sports companies talk about, hey, AWS.
Oh, yeah. You'd see it in all the commercials, AWS stats.
Right. So some programmer said, hey, that's a good idea. We're going to use it for our data collection credentials here. And we're going to make it hard-coded in the cloud here for you. And we're going to connect 5 different mobile apps to it. And what could go wrong? Well, a lot can go wrong. Massive amounts of private data, including more than 300,000 biometric digital fingerprints used by 5 mobile banking apps, this is not good, have been put at risk of theft due to hard-coded Amazon Web Services credentials, according to security researchers. This is Symantec. They have a threat hunter team. And it discovered 1,859 publicly available apps, both Android and iOS, containing baked-in AWS credentials. That means if someone were to look inside the apps, they would have found the credentials in the code.
What?
Yep.
And could embedded in the code in plain text.
And could potentially have used that to access the app's back-end Amazon-hosted servers and steal users' data. The vast majority, 98% of them, guys, were iOS Apple apps. Sorry. In all, 77% of these apps contain valid AWS access tokens that allowed access to private AWS cloud services, the intelligence team noted in the research published today. So I'll put this link up here for you. You can read about it. But here's the thing, right? So all your security is great. You're using biometric 2FA to get into your banking app, but some ding-a-ling hard-coded the information in an AWS cloud. Right? So you think you're secure, and you're not. Right? And then you tell yourself, I want to go to the bank and deposit the money with old paper money, and they're making that hard these days. So it just goes to show you that you don't know, you're only as secure as until you're not. That's what we kind of tell people. Mm-hmm. You know, we use a multi-layered approach to secure our clients, multi-layered approach. And all those approaches you know, if you think about it, Solar Winds, if you thought, remember those guys in the news, Solar Winds was a security technology that was hacked by the Russians directly, and they were injecting their own code into the Solar Winds so they could get access to all sorts of government entities and backdoors using the security tool that was sold to them.
Right, and the Kaseya hack may have been driven by that.
That was another instance where that one tool. So we use a multi-layered approach to try to protect our customers, but I warn them, any one of those layers could be a vector. Right, just because you're using multiple layers doesn't mean any one of those layers can't be a vector of attack. And the problem is then, of course, you're hoping that the other layers you've put in place prevent that one layer from being the issue. But this is simple coding here on your banking app. How do you hard coded access to the AWS cloud that stores the data? That's not cool.
No.
And this is five different banking apps that have done this.
So this is five different development teams that all decided, independent of each other, that this is a good idea.
Exactly. So I
tell you, woodpeckers and programmers, okay?
Exactly. Woodpeckers and programmers and Microsoft, you know, we talk about every OS sucks. I mean, it is what it is. Here's where we are. Your TV doesn't take a week to mute it is what the line goes on the song. So we'll put a link here for you guys. You can read it. And you can shudder like we do. Every day, we're just wondering where the next breach is going to occur, when the next thing is going to happen. And I don't know. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but this really is disappointing to see. This is very disappointing to see. Because a lot of folks use biometrics. Now, of course, there's a risk in using biometrics too, right? I mean, if someone's going to take your phone and just put your finger on it to get into your banking app at force or what have you, that's another thing. If it's a password that you don't remember, they can't get in. So maybe don't use your biometrics. I don't know what to tell you. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll get back to your call. So John, hang on in Rocky Hill. We'll be right back. And we are back. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. Let's go to John in Rocky Hill next. What's happening, John?
Hi, guys. I got a question about spam.
Okay.
I'm familiar with where they get all these addresses and things, but what I'm wondering is, like, in my spam filter catches them.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I'm wondering is, for example, I'm looking at something right now, Camp Lejeune water lawsuit, Kearney Care Growth, Solar Bright floodlights, Southwest Airlines. All of those sound like, or most of them sound like valid businesses, Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
Where do they get that? In other words, this comes from an address that has numbers in the front of it at add to cart now dash, and then they generate a 5-digit random code .co.uk. So you can't really block them because everyone that comes in has that different 5-digit code.
Interesting.
And I've tried to block it by just saying asterisk at the address, and that doesn't do it either. So, but where are all these companies going to this spammer saying, will you spam this stuff out for us?
They are. They're using aggregators. That is definitely the case. But you're doing it on the local mail client, or are you doing it on the actual mail service, your spam
sending? Well, I'm using AOL, so I'm using it on their mail.
Okay. Yeah, because that would be the better place to do it, to try to stop it at the source. I don't know of any specific keywords to help him further block that spam. Do you, Dennis?
No.
Right.
Unfortunately, they've found ways around stuff, and some of that may be legitimate.
Right.
Emails that are just bulk emails that some company is sending out, and they've somehow got your email address at some point.
You could have even opted in by accident.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to accidentally get your email address into somebody's hands. You might have ordered something from over the internet, and once in a while during the checkout process, it'll give you an option to get, you know, I don't know, free warranty coverage for your thing, and you can opt in for that. And in those little warnings, there are, you have to watch the fine print and see, and it may have actually submitted your email address somewhere.
Yeah.
I can't really say for sure. Right. And that kind of thing is a lot less common than it used to be because the feds have kind of clamped down on it, Trade Commission.
But once you've gotten the mail and your mail client, you could right-click and then mark it as spam, and it might knock off a bunch of those. Once they get there, they'll clean up as well.
Yeah, AOL's email service will learn. Mm. It is a learning learning engine. Yeah. So if you keep marking things as spam, eventually it'll figure it out.
Okay. I'm not finding that's my experience.
It may take a while.
It is AOL.
It may not be enough to do it, you know, for a couple days,
right,
or even for a couple of emails that come in over a month. It may take 10, 20, 30 of them mm-hmm. before it finally figures out, he doesn't want that. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. That's all we can tell you, John. Spam is an issue. I don't know, yeah. But if you look at your mailbox when you come home, most of the junk mail is still junk mail in your mailbox. I mean
I've tried to look at, you can right-click on the name of where it's coming from.
Yep.
And then it'll allow you to look at the message source.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, a bunch of stuff you can't read, but the things like to and from where, et cetera, you can read where they're from, but there's a whole bunch of stuff about packet IDs and all that.
So right.
You can't block that stuff in any way, right?
No.
Not okay. Typically, no.
No.
Yeah.
So okay. I wish we could give you more news on that. You could always try to increase the spam levels, too. I mean, AOL can give you categories, I think, but a lot of them have these levels, so you can crank up the aggressiveness of your spam filter, and that also might take care of this for you too.
Yeah, I can try one other thing. They have an option where you can block any message that comes in from someone that's not in your contact list.
Yeah, in other words, whitelisting.
That'll stop a few people that I would want to see.
Well, it could, right? That's another issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a way to do it.
Well, the good news is it catches them, and I can just delete them all at once. But
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Annoying. Okay.
I hear John.
Thank you.
You got it.
Yep.
Spam is an issue. It's an issue forever.
Yeah, and it's email security is a service that we provide.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, every day,
right.
I'm looking at that with something. Either somebody didn't get something that they were waiting for, and it got quarantined, or they're getting emails that they didn't expect that they would get that should have been quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
It's an everyday thing.
And it's different for every client. We have to modify the aggressiveness of that spam filter for every client, which can get tedious.
Yeah.
But you need to have it.
Right.
All right. Let's go to Drew in Newington, see what he's got cooking. What's happening, Drew?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This might be related to your spam filter in part. I emailed to a large, not a very large group, about 65 people. I need to email them regularly, and I've got a problem. Certain individuals will get an email from me if I send it individually.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get it even if I group them together in like a smaller group of like a dozen.
Yep.
People, and I've been told that using I'm sending from Outlook or from Gmail.
Yep.
I've been told that a CSV format file is the way to go, and somehow it simulates individual emails or something. You know, with one load up of addresses.
Hmm.
Can you advise me on that?
That's something that I've never heard of doing.
Yeah, we're running out of time in the program, and I've never heard of it that way either, but you could just be asking the question in an odd way. Can you check back with us next Saturday?
Sure, no problem.
Yeah, we're out of time, and it's too deep of a question.
Sorry.
So we're not familiar with what you're asking, so sorry about that, Drew. But if you can check back in next Saturday, we will, and we'll ponder it. We'll ponder it for the week. I want to thank Carolyn for producing today, and want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. You got to thank Morgan for the news as well, and Mike G out there doing his best to post everything for you over there at our Facebook page and via Twitter. But it's all up to you guys. You guys make the show possible. Without you calling in, we'd be talking about our kids and our cats, and that's no fun.
And we want you to be geeks too.
See you next Saturday.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.